I am one of your own, that is for sure. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to get right into... Becky, you're so awesome. I'm going to get right into the word tonight because I have a word that is just weighty on me, and I believe that is for the church in this hour. Pastor just confirmed it. Ryan confirmed it tonight. So praise the Lord. I'm so excited. I have great anticipation about tonight. And I'm really excited at what God is going to do. I believe miracles are going to happen. I believe breakthroughs are going to happen. And I'm so humbled to be here right now. To be here in this hour, it is just, it's so great. Love you. So I do want to tell you before I start, I have these sheets printed. And I want everyone to grab one. Everybody say everyone. Are you part of everyone? Yes. I want everyone to grab one of these sheets. And it's going to kind of tie along into my message, but I don't want to kind of stop and talk about it, so I'm going to talk about it now. Is to know who we are in Christ. And these are just declarations that you can make. Now, I want you to take this sheet home, and I want you to use it. I don't want you to just throw it in the garbage. I don't want it to be buried under your car somewhere in, you know, where God knows where. But I want you to take it home. I want you to use it every day. And their declarations, like, there's scriptures, but instead of, you know, the actual scripture, it says I am. So it says, I am far from oppression and fear does not come near me. Isaiah 54:14. I have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. So when we're making these declarations every day, it's going to change our lives. So please grab one of these. Okay. It's there for your benefit. Okay, so who's ready to get real tonight? Because tonight, we're going to get real. Say to your neighbor, we're getting real. Because we're getting real tonight. And I'm going to talk to you. I've actually titled this message, Breaking Through the Impossible. What do you do when circumstances and situations in our life seem impossible to conquer? What do we do? And I want to tell you tonight that we can experience God's power. We can experience that power like never before. God, the God we serve, is a God who specializes in the impossible. He's a God who feeds on doing the impossible. This is who he is. So I want to talk to you about breakthrough. And when I was telling my family what I was preaching about tonight, they were like, my oldest daughter, she was like, well, what is breakthrough? So I said, well, I guess I should define it. So I got a couple definitions of breakthrough. First definition of breakthrough is an offensive strike through enemy lines. Everybody say offensive. Tuck that one away because we're going to use it, okay? An offensive strike. See, offensive means it's not offensive, but offensive. An offensive strike, it's not something we sit around and do. We just sit around and wait for it to happen. See, God does it, but we're going to take that offensive step and say that we believe that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. The next definition is, it's an act or an instance of breaking through a barrier. Now, a barrier, it's something that, you know, you're stuck. You're going along and you just can't get through. Now, a barrier can be anything. It could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be a bad diagnosis. It could be a job. It could be a bad relationship, a bad marriage. It could be a lie that you're believing. It could be maybe something that you've been through that's just holding you back, that's keeping you, that's a barrier. Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No devil in hell can stop God from breaking through that barrier. And tonight I want to talk to you about three keys to breakthrough. I could have done more, but I didn't have a lot of time. So I want to start with this quote. George Mueller said that faith doesn't operate in the realm of the possible, for there is no glory for God in that which man can do. Faith begins where man's power ends. How do we release God's supernatural power, supernatural ability to do the impossible in our homes, in our lives, in our churches, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our neighborhoods? We're going to go over that tonight. So I'm taking you through three keys. Everybody say three keys. All right. Number one, I titled it, I know him. Now, I'm talking to you about really knowing him, who he is, his nature. his character, what makes his heart beat. There's a difference between knowing him and really believing that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, that he is who he says he is. I know you say, well, I've grown up in church. You know, I believe all that stuff. I'm not talking about just believing in Jesus. This is different. This is about knowing him. I'm talking about getting a clear, strong vision for who he is. Now, I put it this way, okay? So I wear glasses. How many glasses or contact wearers do we have in the place? Quite a few. Okay, so you get what I'm talking about here. So a couple weeks ago, I was grocery shopping, actually, and Elijah is my little grocery shopping buddy, and we do grocery shopping every Wednesday. It's our fun little mommy son date. So we're grocery shopping, and for some reason, I didn't have my glasses on. And so from, you know, a distance, I saw somebody going like this, and I was like, okay, that's obviously somebody who knows me, but I have no idea who they are. So I say to Elijah, I'm like, Elijah, who is that? Because I don't even know. I'm like just waving, hi, say hi, Jen. So I'm just kind of waving to him, and I don't know who they are. I mean, I can make out like some features. I'm like, okay, I see the long dark hair. It's definitely a girl, and I could see the colors of the clothing, but their features, I couldn't see. I couldn't get a clear, strong vision of who they were until I put on my glasses. I was like, oh my gosh, that's who it is. Oh, hi, you know. And sometimes we need a spiritual eyes to see God for who he really is, which means we got to take off the blinders. We got to take those things that hinder us from seeing God for who he really is. Because so many times, guys, we put God into this. Well, he's this, and he's this, and he's this. And not that those things are bad, but they're not always who he is. See, our ways are not God's ways. The Bible is clear about that. He says our thoughts are not his thoughts, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's so clear to me the more I live life. You know, I know it's hard to believe because I'm only 26, but but the more I live life, the more I go through situations, I'm like, you know, God, you know what you were doing. Like, I would have never thought about that, but he does. He does. He's got our whole life planned. I mean, this is the God of all the universe. Like, when we talk about God, guys, let's get a clear, strong vision of who he is. He's not, you know, just, you know, some tyrant up in the sky who's just sitting there like, you messed up. You didn't do this right. I mean, this is the God who knows us intimately. He says he knows everything about us, that he formed us in our mother's womb, that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Nothing's a surprise to him. So I want to give you this story because we're getting real tonight, right? So no judging, all right? I can't tell you. I can't disclose this information. All right. So I want to tell you this story. So, okay, I'm getting real with you guys tonight. I'm getting really real with you. So I was just having one of these times where the enemy was just, you know, kind of down on me, like all the things that I was doing wrong. And I tend to just kind of fester in that. Like, you know, I just get this image in my mind and I'm thinking, okay, I gotta do this. You know, I've got to pray 2 hours a day and I've got to do this. And, you know, so that God will forgive me because I've messed up this and I've messed up that. And so I need to, you know, I need to work and get all these things, you know, in order so that God will forgive me. And I'm just kind of going through this in my head. Okay, if I do this, okay, God, I'm sorry for this. And, you know, I'm so bad at this. And if I just do this, and I'll never forget this moment. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Jen, why won't you see me rightly? That is not who I am. And guys, so often this is what we do. What we do is we view God in light of how we are. Because see, I'm getting real with you. I struggle with that. Like my poor husband, what he's got to deal with. But, you know, I get upset about something. And man, like, you've got to pay. Like, you wronged me. So you got to pay, buddy. You got to kiss my butt and this. And you got to make me coffee here. And you better rub my feet. You know, like, you pay for what you did wrong. But I'm serious, though. I mean, that's funny. That's true. But I viewed God of how I did things, and it wasn't right. I didn't see him rightly. See, in order to get breakthrough in our lives, we need to see him rightly. He loves me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to save me. And if I am faithful and just for to confess my sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And see, when I saw him rightly, the blinders were taken off. Now I'm still working on that. Okay? I'm not mad for 3 days. I'm only mad for maybe half a day. I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I was, right? All right. Praise the Lord. Will you guys turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23? I actually have to get there too. Because Paulie's got it up there because he's the man. That's the Apostle Paulie up there. Thanks, Paulie. All right, we're here. Almost. All right, I'm actually going to read this one all through. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not perform any many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Now, I don't tell you this scripture to be like, you know, question you, oh my gosh, am I going to heaven? That's not why I'm saying this. These people who prophesied, they, you know, cast out demons, they did everything in Jesus' name. But let me tell you, it was all works-based. Because look what he says next. I never knew you. That word knew is actually the same word that is used when a husband and wife are intimate in marriage. Now, I'm not talking about some weird sexual thing with Jesus, so get that out of your mind right now. What I'm talking about is intimacy, okay? I know my husband. I know him better than anybody on this planet. I know how he thinks. I know how he smells. I know what his thoughts are before he thinks them. Sometimes when I go through a situation or, you know, especially if it's like a construction situation or something that's, you know, gone wrong in my house, I have to put on what I call it the WWAD, what would Andy do? And so I'm like, okay, what would Andy do in this situation? Because I can learn to think like him because I know him. Do you see where I'm going with this? God desires intimacy with us. Now, you can turn with me if you want to Luke 10, 38 through 42. I'm kind of going to paraphrase because time, I can see, okay. All right. The story about Martha and Mary. And we've all kind of heard Martha and Mary, right? And, you know, Jesus comes into Martha's home, and Martha gets busy. She's just like, okay, Jesus is here. So I got to, you know, make this cake, and I got to have the coffee all prepped and ready. I'm pressing the linens, and I'm making sure everything on this table is perfect, and I got to make sure everyone has everything they need, make sure their feet are clean, all this, all that. So she's doing all this, and there's Mary camped right there at Jesus' feet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting real tonight, so why not? I'm telling you, I probably identify more with Mary. Martha, I want to be a Mary. I want so desperately to be a Mary, but I have to force myself with everything inside of me to be the Mary. So, you know, they kind of go through this interaction, and I have four girls, okay? I have four girls, so I know how sisters act, and so I can get the dynamic between these two girls, you know, like, here's, you know, Martha, and she's, like, whipping stuff up in the kitchen, and she just kind of comes out, and she sees Mary just sitting there, and she's just like, you know, whipping the whatever, and she's like, oh, Jesus, would you tell my sister to help me? And I just see Jesus' motherly, like, you know, response, Martha, 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 when are you going to learn? You are busy about doing all these things that don't even matter. Mary has chosen what's better. See, instead of being busy doing things, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, getting to know who he really is. Guys, it's not about works. I can't stress that enough. It's not about the things you do. I just read that scripture. You can cast out demons. You can heal the sick. But if we don't know him intimately, it is worthless. Knowing him, in order to know who we are and the power that we have in Jesus, we have to know and understand and believe who he really is. That's where the sheet's going to kind of come into. We need to see him rightly and believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. we can know who we really are and we can become more confident. I want to tell you this story. I don't know if I've told it before, but if I have, it fits, so you're going to hear it again. So there was a man who used to come to our church, and he was a preacher, and he told this story, and I just love it. So he had two daughters, and the one daughter really, really loved horses. So she had just gotten two new horses for her birthday, and they, you know, the kids kind of congregate back there, you know, so they were back there playing, and I guess one of the little boys had taken her horses. And so she was, of course, you know, beside herself, and she was just crying, and she comes to her daddy just all big tears, and, oh, daddy, you know, let's boy's toy, my toy, and he's getting ready to leave, and he's not going to give it back. And so he looks down at his daughter. He's like, he grabs her hand. He said, where is this boy? And so they start walking down the aisle, and he says, as he's walking, her demeanor totally changed. It was from my toy, I've lost everything, to I'm going to get my toy back. Yeah, we're getting my toy. And so she goes back and they get her toy. But there's a lesson in that. When we're walking hand in hand with our Father and we know who he is, we see him rightly, we know that he's the God who's never going to leave us nor forsake us, we can walk with confidence through whatever it is we are facing. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. When we spend time, when we get to know him, that he is the healer. You know, when we spend time, we get to know that he is healer and he can heal our impossible diagnosis. When we spend time, we get to know that he is restorer and he can restore our broken marriages. When we spend time with him and get to know that he is provider when there's just not enough. Jesus didn't come and die to give us some other brand of religion that God only knows what. He came so that we might know him and love him as he loves us. The world doesn't need any more church services. It doesn't need bigger buildings. It doesn't need better rock and worship. I'm not saying that those things are bad. I'm just saying we need the power of God unleashed in him through his people. We need it in ourselves. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our workplace. We need it in our communities. We need it in our church. Because otherwise, nobody sees anything different in us. What's the difference if we just go day to day the same? Nothing. There's victory. Now listen to me. There is victory in knowing who Jesus the man is. It is the gateway to opening doors for breakthrough. I want to ask you this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Do you rightly know him? Do you see him rightly and believe that he is going to do what he says he's going to do? Number two, I'm titling this one, Keeping Up with Repentance. Everyone, turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And after John was in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. You know, I've often wondered about that. What's the good news? And I actually just heard a preacher preach about this because I'm not that smart to figure it out on my own. But I heard him preach about this, that the good news is actually, you know, way back then, like way back in David's days and everything, and they went out into battle. The king would come into the city and they would, it's an announcement, it's a proclamation. So they were going to announce the good news. Hey, good news! The enemy is defeated. We're free. We don't have to, the battle has been won. We wiped out the enemy. No longer do we have to worry about that. So Jesus, when he comes in, he tells us the good news. The enemy's been defeated. Death, where is your victory? No longer. So Jesus is coming. He proclaims the good news. So he says, the time has come. Jesus starts his ministry. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Now here's the command, and I want you to listen. Repent and believe the good news. Believe that God is good. We've already established that. We got to believe. So now I'm going to talk to you about the repent. Repent doesn't just mean to pray a prayer. sorry, guys, it just doesn't. Yes, we do pray a prayer, but that's not what it means. Repent is the Greek word. I might botch this. Metano. I actually looked at Google. She told me. There was this little voice coming and said, this is how you say it. That was awesome. Okay. So the Greek word metano, which means to change your mind, to change your inner man. I say it's to turn a different direction, to go the other way. Repent. Repentance is a common thing throughout the Bible. I could give you scripture after scripture. I had to delete. How many scriptures did I delete, Polly? Like 10. So I could give you scripture after scripture, but I can't. So throughout the Bible, repentance is a common thing. Charles Spurgeon said, repentance is as much a mark of a Christian as faith. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Repentance is important. Sure, we repent when we get saved, but after that, it's kind of rarely talked about. But man, we need to repent. I mean, I don't know if like I'm more sinful than y'all, but I need to repent like sometimes daily. So in Revelations 3 and in Revelations 3:19, in both the letters to both of the churches, everybody say churches. They were churches. They weren't the unsaved. They weren't the unchurched. They weren't the broken down. They weren't the lonely. They were the church. And do you know what he said to them? He tells them everything that they did wrong. And he says, repent. Turn. Come on, guys. I want you with me. Repent. Repentance. See, sin will always lead to bondage. Sin is always going to lead us to bondage. But thank you, Jesus, that he forgives us when we repent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We become righteous when we repent. We get forgiveness of sins. There is nothing greater than to be forgiven of our sins, because we mess up, don't we? We mess up. There isn't anything, I wanted you to know tonight, that there isn't anything that God won't forgive you of. There isn't anything you've ever done that is going to make him stop loving you. He forgives. Like, that's his nature. He forgives. He's forgiving. He's loving. Let's see him rightly. He doesn't hold the sin over your head. I used to think Jesus was holding the sin over my head. Like, until you get it right, I'm not going to take this away. That's not who he is. Sometimes we got to kind of ask and seek out those things that we need to repent of, because we don't always see them, okay? In Hebrews 12:15, it says, let no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many. Let no bitter root grow up. Let no bitter root grow up in your life. Make the declaration that you're going to let no bitter root grow up in your life. The Bible says in Psalms 139:23-24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Guys, we got to search it out. God, show me if there's anything inside of me that needs to be corrected. And because we're getting real tonight, I'm going to tell you another story. All right, we're getting real tonight, guys. You are learning a lot about Jen Kopeka that you never knew. All right, so I got to be honest. I was in a funk. Like, I was just in a funk, and that's the only way I can describe it. Just a spiritual, just funk. Like, I would get up here and there, and I just kind of, like, read the word. And, you know, I wasn't flowing with God. I wasn't getting to know him like that. Like, if I did read it, it wasn't like, oh, okay, God. I was just in a funk. I really didn't do much. I needed a breakthrough. So the kids and I actually started this Bible study at the beginning of the year, and it was called #struggles, serving Jesus in a selfie-centered world. And I thought, oh, this would be great for the kids. Can I just tell you? It was for me. Sometimes God has a way of doing those things, doesn't he? So I needed a breakthrough, because through that, I realized one day I'm just sitting on my phone, right? And I'm just sitting there, and the babies are playing next to me, and I'm just kind of there, and I'm just scrolling. And, you know, they're crawling all over me, trying to get my attention. I'm just like, okay, get off me. Hold on. Let me see. And I realized, Jen, what are you doing? Put it down. I realized that I had created an idol in my life. No, we didn't carve some awesome statue of stone in my living room and dance around and say weird chants. But an idol is anything that you set up before your relationship with God. And so social media and Google, because I'm a Googler. Is anybody here a Googler? I'm a Googler. I'm a why person, right? So I'm like, well, why does this happen? Why does this do this? How do the colors get like that? How does this happen? You know, so I'm a why person, and I ask why all the time. Ask my husband. It's annoying. So I'm a Googler, so if it wasn't social media, it was Google, and it was this, and it was that, and I would spend hours a day on my stupid phone. But I would spend a minute here or there. God, open up YouVersion. Oh, that's nice. Okay. You get what I'm saying here? I had to repent. And you know, I got to be honest, it wasn't that easy. Like, it was not easy. So I had to, like, I was like, okay, I just stop. I remember just yelling, just stop. Just stop, Jen. Sometimes we got to just stop with our sin. Just stop. I had to put it up. I installed in my house what's called put it up. I said, okay, guys, I told the kids and my husband, I'm like, okay, if you see me on my phone and you just know that I'm not doing anything, like, you know, sometimes you got to text and sometimes you got to, you know, make phone calls and stuff like that. But if you just see me mindlessly on my phone, we're going to install what's called put it up. And I would just put my phone up and I wouldn't touch it. I'd check it throughout the day for text messages. I, you know, fasted from social media. I'm still there. And honestly, I don't miss it that much. But it can be good and it can be bad. And I'm not saying it's bad and I'm not saying I'm holier than thou because I did this. I'm just saying for me, this is what I needed to do. I had to repent. I had to turn from that. Now in Hebrews 12:4, it says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Sometimes through our repentance, we need to shed some blood. Everybody say shed some blood. Shed some blood. And I'm not talking we got to cut ourselves or anything weird like that. I'm just talking it's going to be painstaking. It's not always going to be easy, but you got to shed some blood. Amen? All right. Repent and believe the good news. Number three, I'm titling it, what you got? Everybody say, what you got? All right. So turn with me, if you will, to, Mark chapter 6. And just for time, I'm kind of going to paraphrase here. All right. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. It is already very late. Send people away so that they can go to the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, I love this. You give them something to eat. Say, what? You're Jesus. He said, you give them something to eat. Jesus expects you and I to do the impossible. He expects to have the impossible work in and through you. You give them something to eat. And then he said to them, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Like, this didn't make any sense to them. So he says, how many loaves do you have? And he said, go and see. So, you know, it goes on that they had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and, you know, they gather the people on the grass, and the disciples pass out the fish and the bread. Jesus gave thanks, and he passed out the fish and bread, and 5,000 people ate with 12 basketfuls left over. Amazing. This is the God we serve. So what I want to say is God did it. God did the miracle, didn't he? But he said, go. See, you give them something to eat. It's offensive. Breakthrough sometimes is offensive. And we got to make room for God to break through. I wanted to talk about Elisha and the widow and her oil, but I don't have time. So I just want to say, what's in your house? What is it that you have that Jesus can use to do the supernatural breakthrough in your life? Do an evaluation. You know, do an evaluation. What do you have that you can make room for God? If you need a financial breakthrough, what do you have? What can you do? If you were in an impossible situation with your marriage and you need a breakthrough, what do you have? Go see. Maybe it's you got that one marriage book that's tucked away that you guys could do. Maybe it's a pot of coffee and an hour a day. My friend Kathy Cervone always says, you can tell a lot about a person. You can learn a lot about a person over a cup of coffee. And she says, and if you make it hot enough, you can learn a whole awful lot. Maybe you need to get to relearn who your spouse is. What do you have? A woman that I follow, her name is Benny Johnson, and she just started this whole health journey because God spoke to her one day and said, I want you in it for the long haul. So Benny says, well, what, God, what did I have? What can I do? And the first thing he told her was stay away from sugar. And then after that, he told her, you know, laughter does good like a medicine. And she was like, well, I don't know. I'm kind of serious. I'm kind of in this depressive funk. What do I do? And he says, what's in your house? What do you have? So she's like, I don't even know. So she kind of just one day was sitting there and she looked and she saw a Lucille Ball, I Love Lucy, you know, cassette tapes or whatever they were, DVDs. And she plugs them in and she said she just watched those for hours and just laughed and laughed and laughed. And it lifted her spirit so much just to laugh. The thing that his disciples did, guys, they listened and they obeyed. We got to listen and obey the voice of God when he tells us, what do you have? And then listen and obey. They were, one more story, I think. Do I have time? Okay. So I don't have enough time for a story, but what I want to say is that we are nothing, you know, God works through everyday ordinary people. He's given us that anointing. He's given us that power. He says in Mark 17, these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. They will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place hands on sick people and they will get well. And then in Matthew 10:1, it said Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave him authority to drive out impure spirits and heal every sickness and disease. It's in us. He's given it to us. I'm so excited for tonight because I believe without a shadow of a doubt that breakthrough is here. See, when we know who he is and believe that he is going to do what he says he's going to do, we repent and let no bitter root form up in us. And we shed some blood sometimes. We do what we have to do. What's in your house? What do you have to make room for God to break through? And in closing, just this one scripture. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God excessively with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. I just want to pray for you really quick, and Pastor's going to come up and pray for you, and then afterwards, I will by all means pray for you, but I'm just going to pray for you right now. So I want you to have expectation right now. I want you just to focus in. Please get rid of all and any distractions, and just know who he is. Know that we're not just talking to air. We're talking to the creator of the universe. We're talking to the one who sees your situation, who knows it intimately, and wants to help you. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, that there is none like you. I thank you that miracles are your business. I thank you that there is no one on this earth that can do what you can do, God. It is by your power. It is not by talk, but it is by power of the Spirit of God that you can break through. God, I pray for the anointing of heaven right now in this place. I declare breakthrough in hearts. I declare breakthrough in lives. I pray for restored marriages tonight. Maybe there's somebody here who's on the verge of divorce, and God says, I want to break through. There's somebody here with a sickness in their body and they just can't get free. They got a bad diagnosis from the doctor and God wants to break through. He's our healer. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that just, I believe this and I believe this earlier, that there's somebody here that God is going to break through the depression that they've been facing for years. God is going to break through your mind and your situation right now. He's going to set you free. Holy God, I pray that your spirit would rest here. God, it's not a man. It's not anything else other than you, Jesus. We lift you high, God. We lift you as the one true God. That you would come in our midst, set us free. Deliver us from our unrighteousness, God, that we would be set free. There's freedom. We thank you, Lord. You are good. There is none like you. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Come on, can you put your hands together for the Lord tonight? Beautiful. I ask Jen to stay up front and pray for anyone. You need prayer for anything before you leave tonight. I want her to be right down front. I want her husband to come down, stand next to her too. Two are better than one. They get a good return for their labor. Just, can you tell Jen how much you love her and appreciate her and her husband and her whole family tonight? Thank God for them. So, God, I just want to thank you in particular tonight for your kindness and using our precious sister tonight and her family, God. You've done breakthrough in her life, so she can speak that with confidence tonight and surety, Lord. I pray that, God, that you would continue to bring that into the hearts and the lives of each person that is here. Lord, and if there's one here tonight that is struggling in any dimension at all, just with your eyes closed, your heads bowed tonight, just before I close. I felt that earlier tonight. Jen said it again. If depression is overtaking you, God is the God that can set you free from that tonight. There might be some changes. When she talked about the repenting, it's turning, you're moving in one way. God, sometimes he says, hey, come here. You got to move in this direction. You just got to turn around. You got to walk away from where you've been walking. And when you do that, all the forces of hell, they will move away from you, because now, even as in Acts, believe it is in chapter 3, he says, repent and return, therefore, that times of refreshing may come to you in the presence of the Lord. There'll be a refreshing that comes to your life when you turn and you begin to move towards him. So God, tonight, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've sent our sister for such this moment in our lives, God. I pray that you bless her and her family tonight for her delivery of your word. Bless your people. Thank you for this moment in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Hey, at minimal tonight, before you leave, just tell her thank you. All right? I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace tonight.